Welcome to Business Resolutions, a weekend discussion about business in Puerto Rico with Jorge Gonzalez, attorney and management consultant.
My guest today is Marcos Vidal, an insurance business for some 25 years, but did some other things before arriving there, which we're going to discuss today. Good day, Marcos.
Good day.
I'm going to start different from where I usually start.
Okay.
You are the 13th of 18 children.
That's right.
I have never met somebody with that many brothers and sisters. I've run into 11 and 10, but 18.
Yes.
Tell us what it was like in terms of real life, of living in that kind of large group of siblings and imagine rivalries and conflicts and getting people together. Tell us that, what that experience was like and how important it has been for you in your life.
Yeah, it's very important in my life because my father used to be a chemical engineer, and he was administrator of the Central Juncos, and also in Santa Juana in Caguas. So we were living first in the Caguas on the road to Calle, but then we moved to Juncos, to the sugar mill. And when we get there, the house was not big enough.
And there was all 18 were already born, And they went from what age to what age?
Two of them I never met because they died when
before you were born.
Right. But the other, then we had, you had cousins, friends.
That was just the beginning.
Yeah. So they put us in the hotel of the Central on the sugar mill until they expand the house to accommodate us.
Sounds to me that you need three houses for something
Jesus
like
Christ.
That.
You know. But anyway, we managed to do that. Then when we moved to the to our house.
Did you have like four children in one bedroom?
Oh yeah, well,
five
no.
children?
We had the house that we moved was very large, but not enough bedrooms.
Large enough.
So they had to, they prepare on top of the garage a place, and we all males like, were living there.
Like a bunk bed.
Like a bunk bed, right.
Yeah, like the army.
That's right. Like bunk beds. So all friends, family, they used to come by mail. They used to go up there. We stay, and then we enjoy a lot. Regardless of what, you know, was a very difficult times because, you know, to feed 16, put 16 brother and sister.
Yes, you sit down all in one table at one time?
Yeah.
What was the tradition? You all would eat together?
Well, you know, big pots to cook the...
A lot of rice and beans.
Yeah, boy, and funche, you know. Funche con habichuela, you know. Uh-huh. And, but anyway, I think a large family gives you a sense of, like, more responsibility and empathy to the other people. And that's why, really, I most enjoy in growing in a family like that, because you make a lot of friends. Of course, you get much closer to your friend, to your brother and sisters. And from then, we still get together, you know. That's the beauty.
You get once a year,
at least two, three times a year.
Three times. Most of them are in Puerto Rico, or they're all over the place?
Well, most in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
But when we go to the U.S., because I have two brothers and one sister in Florida, two in Florida, one in New York, you know, we get together. They call and they come from New York to Florida, etc. But when they come to Puerto Rico, either my house or my brother's house, or in one of my brother's house, who is in the Yabucoa and El Cocal, like it's in un campito, no?
Mm-hmm.
Mountain and sea and,
right.
and beach. And we enjoy a lot. And not only that.
You get along overall, get along very well
very
with
well,
all of them?
Very well. Yeah. And also the
closest nephews. There's not a black sheep, no?
No. Always you have one black sheep.
My father used to say, siempre hay un gracioso.
Bueno, I have one of my elder brothers. He's a character, you know. He's the guy who made jokes of all of us, of our experiences. And the elder one, Tito, was a civil engineer. He passed away last year. He was almost 90 years old. And he suffered pneumonia and he passed away. He used to work with the Corps of Engineers in IBEC, etc. And but he was the black sheep.
Okay.
He wanted to be alone. He didn't want any brother, but he had 70 more. 70 more. That's what my
he was the only one that definitely preferred that He would have preferred to have been the only son.
That's
yes,
right.
Yeah.
That's
and he made that clear.
Yeah, and he expressed that to us right afterward, you know.
And who was the leader of the rest? I mean, he obviously didn't want to be the leader. Who was the leader? Was there a clear leader or that kind of, you know, changed as years
went
by?
Winston, the guy who is an attorney now and younger than me, and I, we used to be the leaders with Miguelito, the second one in of my brother. He's now 89 years old. He's a happy man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he still is in good health. He dances, he goes every place, every week, every weekend. And he was the other leader. And one of the other one is...
And that leadership lasted throughout?
From the beginning,
from when you were children to now, you're still the two of you.
You know, my mother used to, and my father used to tell me, you act like an old man.
And this is when you were 5 years old?
Well, not that, but
I'm just kidding. 15, 16,
18.
Okay, yes.
You know, you're a mature guy. You have to be successful. Yeah, why, mother? Well, because you are different than other person. Don't mention brother or whatever. You're different, and also Winston, and you know, I think you will be a very successful person. Well, thanks God.
She was right.
Thanks to you.
She was right.
Thanks to you.
You can't say that, but I can say it. Thanks God. She was right.
Yeah. Thanks God.
And your father also, in terms of, you know, had a lot of faith in you.
He was so busy. He used to travel a lot to Cuba, to Louisiana, to the Virgin Islands, to the Dominican Republic. When he finished the La Zafra in Puerto Rico, the season, they go to another country to do the same job.
Do the same job well.
Right. So we stayed with our mother at home, and as he was the leader.
She handled all 16.
She had to have the big stick to guide us, because, you know, it's not easy to manage that amount of people.
I think it's impossible.
Right. Plus cousins that used to come home and stay.
So at a typical dinner, sometimes you'd have 20, 21 people there?
Of course.
I had a client, Bob Lachey, and he was he had adopted 11 children.
Wow!
And you can't say wow. That was a small family, but you know, he said we never sit down to less than 15 to 18, because invariably one of the children has a friend. So, you know, I can imagine. That just boggles my mind. I mean, to think of sitting down and making, providing food and getting everybody to eat and to have their vegetables and everything else with so many.
And when they went to repairing the house, in our house, in the place, they had a clubhouse. And they used to have Catholic masses there every Sunday. And they had a big bell. You know,
if you didn't show up, the church was empty.
But our mother used to call us with the bell every day for lunch or dinner. Boom, boom, boom.
Just like the church.
Because we used to go, you know, every different areas in the community.
But at least you didn't have to worry that much about crime, and things were calm.
That was the beauty of that.
You were within an environment of a central sugar. Area, and at least he had that.
And, you know, at that time, my father was an important, very important person. He was the manager of Sugar Mill, and everybody knew us. Oh, you are from the Vidales, you know. Mm-hmm, you look all alike.
So you studied public school up until
grade. Well, in first grade, I met that in Maunabo, where I was born. And the other day, I stayed in Maunabo with my grandmother, my father's mother. And my brother, Juan Ramon, and I, and Raul, three of us. Then we moved to Caguas, and then back to Juncos.
Excuse me for interrupting you, but I'm just thinking, we were seven in mine. I was the oldest of seven. And my mother got our names all messed up continuously, you know.
Well,
especially when she got mad. She said, Lorenzo, Fernando, here.
And then finally,
Jorge Rafael, you know. But I can't imagine, 18. I mean, she has to go through a roll call.
Right, the same. Hey, Marco, how are you?
And the madder the angrier they get, the harder it is for them to remember the appropriate name of the person they want.
Yeah, it's funny.
But anyway, excuse me. So you were you're saying that you studied in Manao with two of
the
other brothers?
Elementary school in Juncos.
In Juncos,
and,
yes.
High school also. Then at the middle of, I was in the 10th grade. I went to Cagua, to the Cagua High School. Then I went back to Juncos to graduate with my brother. In Juncos, with Juan Ramon, he was 1 year older than me, but we graduated at the same time at the high school. Then we went to the university.
In Rio Piedras.
Right. We used to take a bus from Juncos to Caguas. They give me a quarter to go out for lunch.
Every day you take a bus to the university.
Right. Then one of my brother's wife decided to study to be a teacher.
The roads weren't quite as good, they weren't as good as
boom,
today.
Boom, boom, boom.
Not less traffic, but worse roads, yeah.
That's
tough.
Every day.
Wow. How long would it take you from Juncos to arrive at the campus?
About 1 hour. Yeah.
Well,
a lot of traffic also.
But it's not too bad compared to today.
It was a lot of traffic because, no expressways. Yeah. Then from Juncos.
These darn sugarcane trucks were in the way too. and you couldn't swear at them because that was your business.
Boy,
I remember those sugarcane.
I think I think that many people need to go through the hard way.
You did that.
To
so
value
you
have, life, and value things, and value family, and value many things.
Well, the first thing I imagine you from very young, you have to get used to living closely, getting along well with a heck of a lot of people, with a heck of a lot of difference of opinion, and then secondly, you realize there's your poor mother. You people better get together and make life somewhat easier for her.
And we had an aunt, we never married, and he used to support help my mother to fix the ¿cómo se llama las medias?
The socks, yeah. Mending the socks.
Right.
A stitch in time saves nine.
And she used, we inherited all the shirts and pants from all the brothers.
From the brother, You never had a new shirt.
Never. Never. Sometimes.
So you still go to the Goodwill and thrifty shops to get your clothes.
You know, when I was 16, I had a 14, 15, a girlfriend in Juncos, and we used to go to activities in el, ¿cómo se llama? En la iglesia. They had a place where they have dancing, etc. Te danzant, and you have to go dress up,
right.
Coat and tie. What I used to do, my brother, give me your coat because I was young. So we have to, when I was calling my mate, so I have to.
Put a rubber band, man. No, it's it was a life. Well, then, Marcos, let's take a break, and when we come back, then you went through the master's in business and all. But what I want to cover is a moment in your life that what you found was really critical. When you look back and you say, "Man, I almost drowned," and what were the things and what happened?
Okay.
So we'll be right back.
Okay.